Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Brother Matthew is asking for at least six guys to help him just fold those inflatables up when we're done. Now, I realize everybody has something to do after service. So do I. But we need men to help roll those up and put them away real quick so we can take care of what we have, and then we have it. And I don't want it to always be the same men, you know. Sometimes it's always the same men that are helping. Everybody else has got a good reason to go. Well, I got a good reason to go. And those men that will stay and help have a good reason to go. Amen? Boy, it gets really tight when you put people under the gun. It gets really, really tight. So I'm just asking you, please, I can give you a book on excuses if you have one. But I promise you there's not one person in this building that has to boogie out of here the second service ends. And so it would be helpful so we don't kill the same men all the time. And can I just be honest with you? I don't know. I'm feeling a little feisty. Not real feisty. Not in a bad way. But some of y'all who I love, you got an excuse every time they ask for help. You got an excuse every time. If you could go and help them put those things away, we're not even going to put them in the bags. We're not even going to put them in the trailer. We're going to put them under the pavilion, leave them there so for the summer so they can get them back out when they need them. And now we've got several things. We've got some outreach stuff coming up. Got VBS, picnics, blah, blah, blah. And the kids love them. And, well, let's move on past that. Do me a favor. Poke your neighbor and say, stop being such a Scrooge. Come on, poke him. Come on. I'm looking. Is anybody poking Nick over there? He's by himself. Somebody poke Nick. Is anybody by Rick? Somebody poke Rick. Who else? I'm looking for those that are by themselves. Ain't got no one to poke them. Don't be afraid of these guys just because they're bald and big. Poke them. There you go, Richard. Who else is by themselves? Someone poke Dakota back there. I think he's ready to take a nap. There you go. It is well. Anyway, back to where we started. It's good to be here. And don't complain about the hot weather. Don't you dare complain about the hot weather, because you're only going to get about a week and a half of it. And then you're going to be whining when fall comes and it's cold. You're going to be whining how cold the evenings are. So you know what? Go outside and sweat. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. By the grace of God, before Jesus comes, everybody will return from vacation and trips. And may those that are home doing gardening, may their gardens die quick. Pastor Klein, don't leave. I need to catch you afterwards. I got to tell you that now, or I won't get you. He's like Houdini sometimes too. Matthew 20 and 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive. I would like to preach to you for a couple minutes. Now, this is going to be like a two-part message, so I'll get through the first part and get to the second part. Most of you will like the second part better. But I want to preach to you on this thought, too busy to notice. Too busy to notice. And boy, did I just feel a little nudge in the Holy Ghost. You praying for us? Go ahead. Did a good job.
gracious Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, that as Pastor delivers this word, Lord, God, that every distraction leaves this place, Lord. God, as we have said, nothing else matters, Lord, but our focus on you, God, your voice and your word tonight, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, over every mind, Lord, every heart, Lord, God, that is in this place and watching online. God, may our minds be clear and free from distraction, God, from anything that's trying to pull our attention away, God. Lord, I pray that we focus in on you truly, Lord, with everything that's within us, Lord, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. God, because this message, Lord, God, you have planned and you have orchestrated it, Lord, to be delivered tonight, Lord, for these people, Lord God. And I pray that it is delivered with the utmost perfection as you see fit tonight, God. Lord, and I pray over these people one more time, God, Lord, that as the word is delivered, that we receive it with a good heart, Lord, and a good spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If I ever say anything that offends you, I don't apologize. Because it's not intentional. I don't intentionally want to offend you. Now, if I do it intentional, I will apologize. And I'll tell you, I'm going to get in my message, but what I've found in this line of work is men don't like to be pushed. Who, you want to get a man mad at you? They don't like to be pushed. They get grouchy. They get like, and I'm a man, so I can say this. When you push men, they become like little children. They get mad at you. I'm taking my toys and going home, and you're not playing with me again. Watch, I won't come to softball tomorrow night. So? Anyway, I love you. But the drone doesn't even love me anymore. He lost that loving feeling last week. So, I want to point something out to you that you may have or may not have ever caught in this text. The master of the house goes out at dawn and hires laborers. He goes out at 9 a.m. and hires laborers. He goes out at 12 p.m. He goes out at 3 p.m. and he goes out at 5 p.m. Made five separate trips to find men that were idly hanging out. Now, according to their word, and we can trust, we'll take them at their word, nobody would hire them. So that's not the point. It's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Why did he go out five times? Let's just get rid of the other four. And why did he go out at 5 o'clock? I could see 3 o'clock. But by 5 o'clock, if somebody called me up and I had asked for help at 9 and at 5, they said, hey, pastor, I can come. I'd say, man, I appreciate it, but the day's gone now. Why did Jesus or the master of the house go out at all five times? I'm going to tell you what I think. It wasn't just to hire laborers. It was because I think there are things that God doesn't let us notice when we're busy. I think busyness, now, I realize this can be a difficult topic to preach, busyness in this day and age, in this generation. People got to work 2 weeks and then they're quitting their jobs and people don't want to go into work and they have every excuse under the sun. And, you know, and listen, I'm a guy, I hate excuses. I hate excuses. I loathe. Let me not use the word hate because you might get offended at that too. I loathe excuses. There's nothing that will get me worked up faster than excuses. You know why? Because everybody's got one. I can give you a million excuses or I can give you one reason why not. And so I believe that the Lord or the master of the house didn't want these men to get caught up in something they should not have been caught up in, because idleness, as they say, is a devil's workshop. Now, I'm going to show you something in just a few moments. But I believe the mission was not to get workers, but the mission was to get them out and off of the streets where they weren't just sitting there idle. Because when you're idle, it creates a lot of problems in an individual's life. Now, I might as well just preach in German, and none of you know German right now, because this is not a popular topic. We live in a very idle world. And I was doing good because I wanted to say lazy, but I just used the word idle. We live in a very idle world. Very idle. I told somebody recently, I said, you got no business sitting at home playing video games for 2-3 hours a day and you're not working full time. I say, get out of your house and go get a job. So I told him. You say, well, you're mean. No, I'm their best friend. Because idleness is where people get in trouble. When we're idle, and I'm going to show you in a moment, just moving or running doesn't mean you're not idle. And I'll explain that in a second. Satan looks for people. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who does the enemy look for? Idle people. People that are separated from the body. Who did Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem go after in the wall? Well, they went after the wall. They wanted to stop the progress. But what Nehemiah did was formulate a plan. He said, we're not going to sleep. We're not going to take our clothes off. Well, we'll sleep, but we're going to sleep with our work clothes or our armor on. We're going to have a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. Why? Because this is not the time to be idle. Because there is an adversary outside our walls that wants to destroy what God is doing. And the first thing in your life you need to recognize and stop thinking that you're bigger and badder than anybody else in the world. You need to recognize that the devil, I don't care how big or bad you may think you are, the devil has got 1,000 or 2,000 or 8,000 years on you. He knows exactly how to get everybody, and he knows where to find us, and he knows what happens when we're idle. Well, in today's day and age, many people, when they're idle, they're either sitting there playing a video game or they're on pornography. It's how pornography catches people, because they're idle. There are people that aren't here tonight. They're sitting at home just idle. They're just sitting home idle. And we don't just want people to come because we want to make sure pews are filled. We understand that commitment to the body, to the kingdom, is an important part of A, not being idle and allowing God to use you, but keeping yourself out of trouble. Now, I'm going to take it a little farther in just a moment. Our mechanic that works on our skid steer, he told me today, he said, you cannot run this machine at an idle. Not just run it. He said, you can't even let it set. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, you have to run it at the very least at half throttle. And I'm thinking, well, that's going to burn a lot of gas. Sounds like the engine's always peaked, blah, 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 blah. And he began to explain some things to me. He said, I looked a little bit up about it to understand it better. And here's what it says. Idling, or the engine temperature may stay below its ideal operating range. The fuel doesn't burn as completely as it should. Carbon and soot build up inside the engine and the exhaust system. Low idle creates more soot, and the exhaust isn't hot enough to burn soot off naturally. Now, well, one thing that I found was when that soot builds up over time, it can cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, the kicker is the machine can be running, but it's running at an idle. It's not moving hard enough, or it's not moving fast enough. And it allows things to begin to affect the runability or the engine. And the soot buildup, things begin to build up in your life. And I can't help but to recognize when God uses simple little lessons in life to try and teach us exactly what can happen to us. Idleness, so you can be busy. It doesn't mean you're not idle. But I have found, let me just use myself as an example, that when I am overly busy, those are the times I've never even had one bad thought come into my mind. And by the time the day's over, I'm so tired that I don't even want to think anything anyway. There's something to be said about being busy. Now, we live in a world of fun, 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 me, me, me. That creates a quagmire and a quandrum for the church. That's why the Bible says that there's going to be a need for laborers. But I want to come to you and I want to give you tonight what I think are the benefits of not being idle. Things you don't know and things you don't see. Things you don't understand that God is doing when you're staying busy. You see, it's not just about getting laborers in the vineyard. It's about, you don't go out at 5 o'clock to hire somebody and pay them a full day's wages. If you only got an hour or two or a couple hours out of it, there is no businessman in the world that would do that. And there's no employee in the world that would like it either. If they were there at 8 a.m. and this dude comes in at 5:30 and he's getting paid the same amount as me. But if you are more concerned about idleness destroying somebody just by hanging around, just by having nothing to do. And let me tell you something. You know, okay, let me take it further. If you're not a parent, I can't explain it to you. And I don't mean this in a cruel way. If you got a baby, I can't explain it to you either. Now, if your parents are this way, you might understand. How many of you that have kids, at some time in your life, you're like, I got to find something for these kids to do? Why is it? Because when you don't and they're idle, they are getting in trouble. They're getting into something because they don't have something to do. You see, a good parent understands that an idle child can get themselves into a lot of trouble. Don't tell me that God doesn't look at us the same way. And so sometimes, God, I could preach in a second. Sometimes God is using me as the pincushion. And he says, hey, go call Brother Fred and tell him you need him to just go do something. Why? Because Brother Fred's going to get himself in all kind of trouble just by being idle. And so I call Brother Fred, and Brother Fred says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then he hangs up, and he says, you know, you can't even sit for an hour. The pastor's always wanting you to do something. Don't tell him if you get a break, because he's going to call you. Now, this is dual fold. Number one, we need help at all times. Number two, sometimes you find work for people to do because you know they're idle. And idle means danger. Idle, listen to me. God, I'm going to preach to you. Especially you younger people that don't like to have a schedule. And don't tell me you do if you don't have a schedule. Okay, because if you wanted a schedule, you would have a schedule. There's no reason for a young adult to be sitting at home all day playing video games. Zero. I'm not saying if you work a full-time job and this is your day off and you sit and you chill for a little bit, that's wrong. I'm not talking about that. Now, I know you won't like this statement or you won't agree with it, but I'm going to make it because it is true and it's right. I believe that God would work our fingers to the bones if that's what it took to get us into heaven. Because our reward is not here. And if God's got to keep me busy, keep me out of trouble until I get through this life, then he would do it. You see, God is trying to keep us from slipping into idleness. And I'm not suggesting that there's any similarity or that it is I'll think of it later. So just like that machine cannot run at an idle, even though it started and it's burning fuel, it's still not running at an appropriate level. Sometimes we need some more things to do. A, because there's a world to reach. I don't know. Sometimes when you preach, you just wonder how long till you start to lose somebody else when you preach in this wise. Because people love their time. They love their schedules. They love it. They love it. They love it. They love it. But I'm telling you right now, if you're idle, if you don't have a job, you're in trouble. If you're idle and you're not working as much as you should, you're in trouble. Why did the Bible tell us, if you ever read in the Old Testament when it gives us the Ten Commandments? And it goes into greater detail. See, we like the basics. Don't work on the Sabbath. That's not what the scripture says. I mean, it does. But it says 6 days you're to work. And you're to rest on the seventh. The Bible specifically told the Jews that you're supposed to work 6 days. Why? Because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's not good to be idle. He said, work 6 days. Take that day and rest. It's enough. Get back up. Keep going. Why? Because God does not want us falling into any form of sin that's going to eventually overtake us and dominate us and destroy us. And if you don't have a schedule, you're a train wreck. If you just get up, I slept in today. Well, I'll use your alarm clock. That's why you have one. That phone isn't just for you to sit there and play games all day. It's to help you get up and get moving. In my opinion, you should find something to do if you don't have anything to do. And if you don't have anything to do, I can promise you, if you call me or Brother Klein, we will find something for you to do. When I was single, I never sat home. I never sat home. First of all, I know where Cole gets it from. I can't deny it. Let me tell you something. There is not a harder worker in the world than that 17-year-old boy right there. That boy came home from camp at got to bed 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was up at 7 o'clock heading to work because they needed him for an hour and a half to finish something up. Didn't make an excuse on why he couldn't go. Didn't say, hey, I'm getting back late, which they probably would have accepted. And you got people, you know, got any silly, ridiculous excuse in the world not to get up and go to work. I got mad respect for Cole. I do. He's a worker. He is a worker. And I'm thankful. All of my kids are workers. They don't want to sit home. They want to work. They want something to do. They're always asking me for work. Give me some work, Dad. Can I preach? Where's some of you that aren't working? When's the last time you called me and asked me for work? And I'm not even asking everybody to do it for free. We're trying to pay them. Well, only, you know, so-and-so an hour. That's better than zero. Where do you think zero's getting you? Some of y'all, I'm going to preach. Some of your moms and your dads and your grandparents need to cut you off from their slush lazy fund. Why? Because you're too idle. You're too idle. And when you get idle, I'm telling you, the devil's going to have a field day with your mind. Now, I'm going to spin this thing in a moment, so just hang on. Anybody think I'm out of the scripture yet? So, let's use just a couple examples in the Bible about idleness. You're aware of all of them. Eve was idle in the garden. She was just chilling, wasn't doing anything. Walks by the tree, decides to have a conversation with the serpent. Now, like I've always said, I don't know where in your brain you think it would be normal to have a conversation with a serpent. But she does, and she carries on this conversation. When you're busy, and the serpent starts, psst, hey, I'm busy. Pastor needs me to go run here or run there or run everywhere. Get not even a giggle out of that one. But she was idle, and her idleness cost her home and her family. David was idle on the rooftop. I love the people that try and defend drinking and smoking. Well, it's just one beer, Pastor. I just have one beer once in a while. David took one look to destroy his life. Took one. Don't you dare try and tell me that one can't destroy you. Because once you take the one, okay, I'll tell you a story. And I'll hurry because I know you want to go home and peel weeds out of the garden. When I'd lost my job years ago, I was probably 20 years old, 21, somewhere in there. And I was going to make a change in my career, and I was going to classes for a week, and somebody ratted me out, and they fired me. So I went through this whole little deal, and I had to get back to work, and so I wind up working at this restaurant. I was, Rick, you're not going to believe it, a bartender in an Italian restaurant. And I did the closing shift. And every night, the guys at close were like, hey, man, come on, go to BW3's with me. Go to BW3's. Oh, we're just going to play pool. Just go to me. And No. Well, finally, I'm like, all right, I'll just go. Because the devil doesn't stop until you give in. And so we went, and I'm just drinking, you know, I don't know, probably a water or some type of pop or something. I drank pop then. And I walk up by the bar, and one of the manager, who I liked a lot, he's sitting there, and he's got a shot. I said, what's that? He said, Goldschlager. I said, really? I said, he says, it's got little gold chips in it. And I don't know what it was, man. And I just said, hey, well, let me try one. Now, if anybody here has ever had Goldschlager, you know how potent it is. And so I took that first shot. And, man, I thought a bomb went off my chest. I did. I thought a bomb went off. And after the plume of smoke just kind of settled inside my body, I said, maybe another one of those. I did another one. There goes that bomb again. I'm not done. I'm not even close to being done. I took that second one. I said, give me another one. Feeling pretty good now. Did a third one. That's a lot of alcohol. That's a lot of liquor for a guy who don't drink. I didn't know how I made it home that night. That's bad. I was playing Mario Kart when I got home, and I couldn't even keep the card on the screen. So then I just drank a wine cooler, topped off, and then I got a Long Island iced tea, which has 5 more shots in it. You know what that started with? Just one. That was probably the second time in my life I drank. Started with one. I look back in that day and I say, thank God I did not get stopped and get a DUI. Thank God I didn't wreck and kill myself. Or somebody else. But it started with one. It just takes one look. It took one look for David to wreck his kingdom, to wreck a woman, to kill her husband. And by the end, because of idleness, he was so deep into it, he was justifying everything he did. You'll justify anything you want to if you're not careful. Idleness. Idleness. People go to prison because of idleness. They do things they would have never done because they were idle. People backslide and walk away from God because they became idle. They stopped contributing. They stopped giving of themselves. They stopped going. They stopped attending. They started buying into the lies of the serpent. You can serve God. You don't have to go to church to serve God. All lies from the enemy. And you might be sitting there saying, "Are you telling me you can't serve God?" Oh, I'm telling you, you could serve God on a desert island. Ask John the Revelator. But he had a relationship that was so strong, he prayed. He didn't give reasons why he couldn't pray. And that's only because he wasn't able to go. The Bible says one of the sins of Sodom was an abundance of idleness. That was one of the stated sins of the city. Because, and I don't mean this in any type of cruel or sarcastic way, but because we're all straight white men and white women, and black men, black women, I'm sorry, people don't get mad at me. And if you got, some of you be like, "Well, I'm 5% Puerto Rican." Okay, the Puerto Ricans too. I'm trying to cover all my bases there. Because we're all straight. We love just talking about the homosexuality that was in Sodom. But how about the idleness? How dare us point out one sin because it's not ours and easily overlook the others? I'm telling you, idleness is a pit of destruction. It's a pit of destruction. Proverbs 6 and 10, it says, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." 1 Timothy 5, 13, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." You see, an idle hand turns into a gossiping mouth. That's why all you got to do is get on Facebook and you want to go ahead and fast track it out of this life. Because all the, nothing but a gossip kingdom. But when you're busy for the Lord, when you're busy taking care of your family and providing the way you're supposed to, when you're busy and you keep yourself busy enough. Now, I'm going to give you a spin. So just give me a moment. It gives the enemy very little room to use idleness against you as a weapon and as a tool. Idleness steals your purpose. It steals your purpose. You know what's really tough about our society? As many times we don't recognize idleness because our phones are in our faces during all of our idle time. And our brain makes us think we're doing something, but we're just wasting time away. Well, I'm just trying to decompress. Now, listen, I get in my phone once in a while and try, but you guys shut it off after a few minutes, or you'll be there 2 hours later. And that's why people can't stay off their phones in church. They can't stay off their phones anywhere. They have become the distraction. They've become the distraction. Distraction of what? The distraction to recognize that I am too idle. Idleness prevents temptation. Absolutely does. Absolutely 100% prevents temptation. The problem about temptation and sin is it can be the best kept secret in town. Eventually, God will expose it. But it prevents temptation because you're too busy sometimes to even be tempted. Imagine if Eve was helping Adam that day tend to the gardens like they were supposed to, or take care of the animals like they were supposed to. She may have never happened by that tree. Idleness creates opportunity for the enemy. Now, let me give you a spin before I wrap this thing up. And I'm not done yet, but I will get you out of here maybe early. Daniel 10 and 2. I feel like this is a word for some people tonight. Daniel 10 and 2. Thank you, Cole. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3, 4. Let me pause for a second. I'm going to go back to Cole for a second. If I ever get mad at Cole, it's because he's working too much. Honest to God. I'm like, Cole, you got to stay home with us once in a while. You got to do something with me once in a while. Proud of my son. He's a great worker. I was mourning 3 full weeks. This is important. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Therefore, I was left alone. This is verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. Sometimes when you're doing kingdom business, and fasting and prayer is kingdom business, you may find yourself weak. When you fast on a Wednesday, yeah, you're probably going to be a little weak. But guess what? When you're busy focusing on the kingdom, and I'm not eating, I'm going to fast, I need to fast, you feel yourself getting weak, maybe it's a multi-day, whatever, you know, it doesn't leave a whole lot of room for temptation. So Daniel, in his weakness, because of his fasting, he said, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Verse 12. Then said he unto me. So Daniel is praying, and he spends 21 days in prayer and fasting, trying to get a hold of God. You know the text, and God's doing nothing. God's not answering. Now, you need to hear me. Can you get ready to come up, honey? And now, it says, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst send thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael and one of the chief princes came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, listen to this. Daniel's fasting. He's praying. He's looking for a breakthrough. He needs to hear from God. Nothing. He's weak. He's tired. He feels broken. Nothing. You got to watch this. Because I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to speak to some people now. In due time, Michael shows up and he says, I heard you from day one. He said, when I begin to make my way for you, I wound up in war in the firmament. Now watch. Daniel's lack of idleness, his pouring himself out before God, seeking God, thinking God's not hearing him, thinking there's no answer. Why isn't there an answer yet? Why is there not an answer yet? Why is there not an answer yet? Watch this. If it wasn't for those prayers, whatever it was, Michael confronted in the firmament, David might have had to fight by himself. There was something in the spirit, and Daniel felt like he had to push, and he had to push. He could be doing other things, but he had to push, and he had to push. Our greatest mistake as a church, and I'm not saying just PCC, is when there is war that's raging in our lives, we look for a quick fix and we go on with our lives. But now watch. When God is keeping you busy with kingdom business, I'm telling you, I believe there's greater adversaries that you're being spared from fighting because you're busy. But because the big guy doesn't walk through the back door with 10 of his buddies and they drag us out and nobody else can do anything because they're all carrying semi-automatic weapons. Because we don't physically see it, we don't see what's happening in the spirit. I believe with all of my heart that when people are busy, God spares us from battles. We think what we're fighting now is a giant. It pales into comparison. I know it might be big for you and it may be big for me, but God knows what war really is. And God sends an angel for a praying, fasting, busy man and woman of God to fight the greater battles. So while you're lamenting that God hasn't answered your prayer, God's saying, you have no idea. You probably wouldn't even be alive today if it wasn't for this. Because we know that God hears us, and we don't always understand why. You see, there is value in being busy for the kingdom of God. There is value in not allowing idleness to run our lives. There's a reason God said in the Word that if a man won't work, he doesn't get to eat either. The world might be fickle. They might do nothing but lead by their emotions and their feelings. But God knows why. It's not that God doesn't want to provide for us. He does. But God knows if you're not working, you're sitting home idle. That, my friend, is why the good Lord of the house went out in the morning at dawn, at 9 a.m., at 12 p.m., at 3 p.m., and at 5 p.m. He wanted to keep people from idleness. He wanted to keep people from falling into despair, falling into temptation, falling into whatever you fall into when you're idle. So the question is, am I preaching saying the church is full of lazy people? Not at all. But I am saying if you do not heed this call, parents and grandparents, you do your kids, your adult children, the greatest injustice in the world by providing for them and giving to them when they don't have a job. Well, I'm just going through a hard time. No, you're not. Your life is a hard time. Just watch. I know things happen. I understand that. But sometimes you got to let someone learn to fight their battles all by themselves. As long as you're giving, 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 they'll never have a desire to do anything. And that's why some people come, I'm almost done, but they come into the church, and as long as they're getting, they're good. As long as you're preaching a great sermon, whatever floats your boat, but you start preaching about, hey, we all need to be involved. See, that's why I don't go to church, man. It's all they want to do is ask you to do stuff. Idle, 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 idle. We've learned to be content and comfortable, and we've learned to pursue idleness rather than busyness for the kingdom of God. I believe with all of my heart, and you'd be wise to trust me on this, that when we stay busy, 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 take time for your family. Do not neglect your family. I'm not suggesting that. But you sitting at home, ignoring your family, what are you getting mad at me for then? Because just because you're sitting at home at an idol, soot's still building up. You're not running at max temperature. Whatever you're doing, it's gonna natively affect you down the road. All right, let me end. Everybody needs downtime. I genuinely believe though our world is like addicted to downtime. Everybody needs a break. Everybody needs a vacation. Everybody does. I believe everybody needs those things. So I believe we also need to be busy. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, not mine. I'm trying to see if I can say something without getting myself in trouble. I don't think I can. Oh, no. No, you don't understand. You say, go ahead. That's because you're not me. I'm not going to say it. The Holy Ghost is saying, no, 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 no. How do I close? Don't know. I think we should search ourselves out and just ask God, am I pleasing you? Am I as busy as you want me to be? Nothing wrong with that. 6 days thou shalt labor. My first car was about 15 years old. It was an old Datsun pickup truck. Stick shift. Bed was completely rotted out. I was happy as a lark. I loved it. Now kids get out of school, want to go buy and get a $400 or $500 car payment. Done, and then taking their pictures and put it on Facebook. Look at me. I went in debt. Aren't I successful? No, you're stupid. I love you, but you're just dumb. I would never, never tell my kids to get a high car payment fresh out of school. My son drove his first car that he now passed on, that Bailey's still driving and still running. But when he got his job up in Cleveland, because driving, he went and bought a car, and he was going to get a used car. I talked him into getting a new one because he's putting 40,000 miles a year on it. And it wasn't a whole lot. But until then, he drove the same vehicle. Not now, man. Kids be, you know, 16 years old, 17 years old, and parents are like, oh, let me go co-sign for you for a payment. Dumb. I'm sorry. If you're one of those parents here, it ain't my fault you're dumb. I love you. That's dumb. I'm not saying any payment. I mean, sometimes you're going to have a payment. I'm talking about new cars. My God. I was married probably for 15 years, 17 years before I ever got my first new vehicle. I got my first new vehicle in 2019 when I leased the truck. That's only because my brother talked me into, because I was going to go buy a used one. I don't even know why I'm telling you this stuff. Why am I telling you this stuff? I don't know. Don't be idle. Be busy. Be busy. Get yourself involved. If you're not involved in a department in the church, get involved. Well, I'll go find, I got plenty of work to do at home. I didn't tell you to get selfishly involved. I said do something that's greater than yourself. Do something for the kingdom. Do something for the kingdom. First of all, there's joy in working for the Lord. You get tired. David got tired. Daniel. He got tired. He was, you get tired. You get weary. I said a couple weeks ago, sometimes ministry, it stinks. Literally. Yes, ask Noah. Sometimes ministry stinks. But you know what? When you're busy for the king, you know what he does? God says, I'll provide all your needs. If you put me first and the kingdom, not yourself, I'll provide. And you got people here years. I got to stop. Pastor, I don't know why, man. I just can't get my finances in order. Because you ain't doing nothing for the Lord. That's why. God ain't going to step in for you if you're not stepping in for him. That's Bible. That is biblical. But when you stay busy, it's such a reward. I had to go drop my truck off at the shop today. They wouldn't give me a rental car. Made me mad. We'll have someone drive you back. I'm like, all right, you're driving me all the way back to New Line. I'm just telling you right now. So I get there, and I wasn't. I didn't express my anger to them, but I get there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you watch. I'll bet you God wants me to witness to this guy that's driving me back. We get back. I had a conversation or two on the phone. Phone rang. He starts asking me what I do. I start talking to him. We start talking God. He says, I was in church for a while. And he goes, I was just talking to my mom 2 weeks ago and said, I got to find a church to go back to. And we talked more, and I gave him a card, and we talked scripture. And then he brought me right here. I said, you already know the place. I said, and when you come on Sunday, I said, tell them. I said, you got my card. Text me. I will come out and meet you. Why? You know why? Because he said, you know, it's hard when you don't know anybody. Number one reason. I said, but you know me now. And we talked again. It's fun and exciting to be busy for the Lord. When God messes your schedule up for so you can be busy for him and not be idle, you get down the road and you think, well, God, I feel like an idiot for being a grouch. If I can do something to positively affect the kingdom. So here's where I close. The Lord's coming. I'm going to keep saying it. You can either believe it or you can disbelieve it, but he's coming. And guess what? He may come for you before he comes for the world. He's coming. I want to be busy. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of bringing people to the Lord. I want to be a part of praying people through. I want to be a part of seeing lives changed. I'm talking to this young man. He's 25. talking to him, and I'm thinking about all of you. I can see how green he is. Not in a bad way, just green. I'm thinking about so many of you that have grown so much and come so far. I think about when you were there, and I start to get excited. Boy, I want, and I start to try and think, if he comes and we can get, he'll be 3 years down the road. That's exciting. That's a whole lot better than going out and pulling weeds in the garden. Would you stand with me? So, my title, if you're too busy, you won't notice what God is sparing you from. You won't even notice the war that's taking place in the spirit, where God has dispatched angels to fight on your behalf. I feel this so strongly in the Holy Ghost. Be joyful, be excited. Who has prayed lately and said, God, I'm trying to do everything you've asked me to do. Why aren't you answering my prayer? I just don't understand. Has anybody prayed that prayer lately? I know their hands are going to go up. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God has heard you. And I'm here to tell you that I don't know what, but I am telling you, God has been warring in the spirit. He has sent angels to war. And so when you think he hasn't done anything, he's doing everything. Why? Because you're not idle. Because you are not idle. Tracy and Vince, for years now, they come straight home and come straight to church and never miss unless they're gone. Never miss. I know I told you I was done. Listen to me, I love y'all, man, but some of you call me with your excuses. Oh, Pastor, I had to do this and I had to do that. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Don't you even dare try me. No, you did not. When these folks can be as faithful as the sunshine here, come straight from work on Friday, straight here for years to do youth group. Studying straight here. Do you go home and eat? Faithfulness. But look how God has blessed them. They're home, and he's not done. There are things. Now, I'm going to talk to you just for 1 second in the spirit. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I feel this so strong. And this is not just for Tracy and whoever else raised their hand over there. I am telling you, you're going to see in the future what God has been warring. God's going to release some people from some strongholds, and they're going to be set free because you've been busy. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. So when you lament sometimes or you get frustrated being busy, just know that as Daniel was, God has dispatched angels to fight your battles, battles that you would have otherwise had to fight if you weren't busy. You don't have to receive it. I do, and I believe it. Father, I honor you, Jesus. I love you, God, and I thank you. And God, when we get frustrated in our flesh and we complain from time to time, I know that you understand our weariness can get the best of us. But I don't want to be idle, God. I don't want to just be about my business, but I want to be about my Father's business. I don't want to be idle. I want to be busy for the kingdom. I want to do what I'm supposed to do as a husband and as a wife, as children. But I still have got to be busy for the kingdom, because God honors busyness. And God looks for the idle to pull them out. Hey, come on, somebody. If you know I preached to you tonight and you've been idle and you can be man or woman enough to admit it, you need to come to this altar, because God has gone out in the street in the morning, at dawn, and at 9, and at noon, at 3 and 5 to try and get you busy, because your idleness is going to lead you down a place where you don't want to go. Ha ha. Lord Jesus, harabo shataya rababa yada rababa ya. Jesus. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being busy for your kingdom. Jesus. And mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being loosed. Yes, God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. and bodies are still being raised, and giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. Still being raised, giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. I want to give you one more nugget, and I'm not coming back to the microphone. Now hear me. The Bible said busybodies. What does a busybody look like? Well, we know they always got their hands in things they shouldn't get their hands in, but how about this? How about this? A busybody's always looking for mischief. How about this? Is it possible that a tail, that a sign that there's too much idleness in our life is what we see in everyday society? People at the altar came focused on prayer. Are they too used to just looking everywhere? I can promise you, if you have that struggle, you don't have a prayer life. I can promise you, because you'll be on your knees for 35 seconds and the devil will start getting your attention. Busybody, busybody, we have got to get ourselves focused. Only you can do that for yourself. Only you can get yourself focused. And I know we live in a busy world, and that does affect us as well. But we need to be able to focus on the Lord. Focus on the voice of God right now. God wants to speak to people. Listen, I'm talking to you in the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants to speak to people right now. He's trying. But because of idleness, you're just too busy ever here and there and everywhere. And that's when God begins to wake us up at 3:00 in the morning, because he can't get us any other time. Lord Jesus, help us. We want to be better. God, we want to please you more. God, I want you to be pleased in my life. And I believe that every person here wants the same thing. Help them to take this, God, to heart. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
In this room, miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Coming, oh, miracles, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles
Why don't you just grab the shoulder of the person next to you and just pray for them. Just pray for somebody. You don't know what somebody's going through, but you can surely pray for them and encourage them. Lord Jesus, God, we don't know what everybody might be going through, Lord. But God, we know, Lord, that whatever it is, Lord, you are greater. Lord, you are our provider. Lord, you take care of every one of our needs. God, whether your people are going through a mental struggle, God, whether they're physically tired, God, whether they feel like they can't go on another day, God, we know that you are more than able, God, to give us the rest and the strength, God. Lord, in your name is where we find our rest, God, where we find our strength, Lord. God, I pray over this people today, Lord. God, that whatever it is, Lord, God, that they just begin to give it to you, Lord. God, that they begin to just lay it here at the altar, Lord, that they begin to leave it here, Lord, in Jesus' name, when they walk out, God, they begin to feel encouraged and strengthened because of the prayers of their brothers and sisters, Lord. God, because they've surrendered themselves to you, God. Lord, we don't want to go another day being tired. God, feeling like we can't wake up and press on in this life. Lord, we want to wake up every morning feeling strengthened, encouraged, and ready to go. God, be a witness, Lord, to the people around us, Lord. God, be busy for the kingdom, not busy for the world and be distracted. But God, be busy for your kingdom, Lord. Knowing that time in this life is short, God, but every day that we wake up, there is still time, God, to reach somebody, anybody, Lord, that is around, oh Lord, hallelujah. But God, we must be strengthened, God, at first by your people, God, by the prayers of our brothers and sisters, by fellowship, by praying, by fasting. And God, I pray, God, and I ask that the strength of the Most High God begins to fall, God, from the kingdom of God, to this church and into the lives of your people, oh God, hallelujah. Oh yes, Jesus, Lord, we need you, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah.